It's just gone 6:30, and this is BBC Radio 4.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world. And also to welcome back the inventive and original humour of Paul Merton, the offbeat and sometimes surreal humour of Not Ross Noble, and the clever and succinct humour of Clement Freud. And we welcome also for the first time on the show someone who's equally talented and entertaining comedian, that is Sean Locke. But would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Pleasance, which is on the fringe of the Edinburgh Festival. And we have a wonderful, highly hyped up, excited, fringe audience in front of us. Yeah, ready to cheer us on away. We've been queuing all morning to get in here, so they're really ready for it. So, Clement, we'll begin again with you, and the subject here in front of me is, very Scottish, how to play the bagpipes. Clement, can you tell us something about how to play the bagpipes in this game starting now?
In a word, quietly. I think it is hugely important to remember that you don't always have to blow. If you're the sort of person who runs out of puff, you can do what they do in the lowlands in Roxburgh, Selkirk, Peebles, Galashiels, Dumfries, and that is get bagpipes which you activate by waving your arm up and down and having the bag itself close to your side arm.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation,
slight.
Yes. But, I mean, the demonstration, I should explain to our listeners, was really holding our audience spellbound as demonstrated sort of arm movements there, which...
I've never done it on Radio 4 before. I went very well on Radio 2.
They still talk about it, don't they? They still talk about it.
Well, maybe you'll get the full lot and do it on Radio 1 sometime. And Paul, he did hesitate, so that's a correct challenge. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, and there are 30 seconds available. How to play the bagpipes, starting now.
It's quite a difficult technique, but it can perhaps best be summarised as first you squeeze, then pump, then blow. I'll just repeat that. Well, I won't, because I actually can't because of the rules of this game. But imagine if you had a set of bagpipes under your arm and you see a stir in sight, because after all, it is an instrument to stir up the emotions. You feel the blood coursing through your veins and you think, my God, it can't last much longer. But it does! And what a sound it is as that bagpipes...
Ross Noble challenge.
Was it repetition of sound?
Yes, there was. There was a sound on it. Yes, definitely, Paul. I'm sorry. So the ones who wanted to hear more on sympathy for Paul, because he's... Ross's challenge was just 1 second ago.
Well, it had better be good.
So you have a point, of course, for a correct challenge, Ross. You take over the subject. 1 second. How to play the bagpipes, starting now.
Bagpipes. What a marvellous bagpipes.
Whoever speaks when the whistle is going in this game gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Ross Noble. And you won't be surprised to hear that he's in the lead at the end of that round. Well, don't clap as much as that. We haven't just started. I mean, he's got 2 points, Paul's got one, and the others have yet to score. In fact, Sean has yet to speak. But,
Don't rub it in.
Yeah. Well, no, he's spoken now.
He's got to speak in the game, not ever.
I know.
Not fair.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that.
You said you'd go easy on me, Nicholas, back there. Don't worry, son, you're massaging me.
I was trying to bring you in, that, so you would say something. You've now established your presence.
I don't know anything about the bagpipes. That was basically my problem.
Well, you don't have to speak on unless you challenge and get the subject.
Okay.
You don't have to contribute.
Ignorance is no bar to success in this game.
No. But you've established your presence in the show now, which is great, Sean. And Ross, it's your turn to begin. And the subject in front of me is trichology. Looking at your wayward locks, I don't know if that's been chosen specially for you, but talk on the subject if you can, 60 seconds, starting now.
You wouldn't actually believe it, but I am, in fact, a bald man. Yes, I have indulged in trichology, or as I like to call it, slaphead maintenance. It's a little bit like the quick fit of the baldy-type event, and little men can come on, you just drink it with... Oh, just bug me.
Sean, you challenged.
Yes, well, he was just hesitating all over the
place. He was hesitating, yes. Your first correct challenge, your first
Ooh.
Point.
Ooh. Ooh.
So gather your emotional strength and go with 42 seconds, if you can, on the subject of trichology, starting now.
Trichology, as I understand it, is the study of hair. And I've always fancied being a trichologist because it means you get the afternoons off, because there's obviously not a lot to do, is there? You could study hair for about 2 hours and then your eyes would start blurring over and you think, I'm fed up with this, I'm going out to just look at some other stuff apart from hair. Now,
what... Paul Charles.
A repetition of hair.
Yes, yeah, so I'm afraid you let the first one go, but there were three hairs, actually.
Isn't
there
three?
So, well, a new boy, they're generous. Anyway, Paul... you have trichology. You have a point, of course, and you have 25 seconds starting now.
I'm actually a donor for a bald man. I'm growing hair for his particular top of his head because, as you can see, if you are here in the radio audience, I have become the new Harold Shipman. There's a new film being made, the early years.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of new.
Yes, you had new before, I'm sorry.
Oh, what nonsense. Word like new.
Yeah. The new Harold Shipman and the other new, so forth. I must explain to my listeners, because our audience can see, Paul has grown a beard, which he doesn't normally have. And actually, there is a passing resemblance to Harold Shipman.
I'm hoping to get the part in the musical.
I know, that's right, yes. When's the audition?
Well, you're not getting in on it, don't worry about that.
Clement, you had a correct challenge, so you have 7 seconds to tell us something about trichology starting now.
I'm rather against all these philological euphemisms where if you're bald, people say he's lost a lot of...
So, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, then gained that extra point, and now he, Russ Noble and Paul Merton are all equal with 2 points, and Sean Locke has 1 point. So it's very close, isn't it? Could you care less? Anyway. Sean, will you take the next round? The subject is neighbours. Can you tell us something about neighbours in this game starting now?
Yeah, I think it was Jesus who said, love thy neighbour, which was very easy for him because he moved about a lot. And he was also Jesus, so he's meant to love his neighbour.
Yes, Ross challenge you.
So it's repetition of Jesus.
Oh. I know.
It's a difficult game, isn't it?
Yes. But he's worth repeating.
He is. But he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, isn't he? So strictly speaking, you're allowed to mention him 3 times before you.
Ross got a correct challenge, a point for him. Neighbours is with you, 50 seconds to go, starting now.
I'm a big fan of the Australian soap opera Neighbours, and I recently visited the actual set of said show. It really is brilliant. I thank you, indeed, for the kind woos that you gave me there. I played cricket in the street as a tribute to the original opening credits. Unfortunately, in the actual show, there was never a transition.
Yeah, it's all right. I just say yes. I don't want to discourage you, Sean, but and I say, yes, what was your challenge?
I'm learning. Yes, repetition, he repeated the word show.
He did repeat time. The word show. Well, listen, yes, Sean, you got in there. My gosh, you're in the lead now. No, you're not. Almost. You've got 30 seconds. Tell us
something
more.
You're treating me like your bitch, aren't you? You're in the lead, you're not. You've spoken, haven't you? So. I don't know where I stand, Nicholas.
Well, you're sitting, actually, but, yeah. No, I'm trying to encourage you, actually, Sean, and you have, how many? 30 seconds on Neighbours starting now. Oh. Clement, you challenged.
I wanted him to have another point.
Yes. I think what Clement's saying is you hesitated very, very long time and didn't get going, so he challenged for that pause, but he's not going to accept it. He's going to give it to you.
Wow, thank you.
There we are. But this time, when I say now, you do have to start right away.
Okay, right.
Right, okay. So there are now 20... It was 2 seconds you didn't say anything. which can't happen. It's all right in real life, you can go for 2 seconds. Not in just a minute. Sean, Neighbours is still with you. 28 seconds, starting now.
The theme tune of the show Ross was talking about is Everybody Needs Good Neighbours. Well, that's not true if you're an Eskimo. You don't need good neighbours, do you?
Clement Challenge.
I think repetition.
Of good. Mm. Yes.
Right. Mm. I think I need to go on a course, don't I?
You think this is the course? None of us have got off it. We don't know what the next one is. God knows what hell awaits us.
Clement, you have 22 seconds. The subject is Neighbours, starting now.
There are streets in which the numbers are odd on one side of the road, like 13579, 11, 13, 15, whereas on the other they are even, 2, 4, 6, 8, spring readily to mind. And Neighbours are those next door. Just go out of your house...
So, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's one ahead of the others. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is locks. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When I was younger, I always believed there was such a thing as the Loch Ness Monster, and I'm very disappointed it's never been found. I wonder if Nessie is out there somewhere, swimming around beneath the surface, which is the best way to swim. And it could be found perhaps one day. The Norwegians have sent a submarine down there, and sometimes they put a man inside it, and he looks out of the portholes, and he comes back with a terrible report. Nothing, I can't see a thing. There are other...
Clement Challenge.
He wouldn't say that if he were Norwegian.
He's bilingual. Well, he's bilingual.
But actually,
He works for Scottish team, but he's Norwegian.
But actually, the Norwegians speak some of the best English in the whole of the world.
That's right. You know, you'll be big in Norway, aren't you, Nicholas?
Yeah, absolutely. My pop record was number 3 in the hit parade over there.
You made a pop record?
Yes. It's called Fantasy.
We're wandering into the middle of one now. So when was that?
It came out last year, and it was a sort of dance record. They've been telling me I should take it to Ibiza. I could clean up over there.
You could clean up in Ibiza.
Oh, I see.
If you keep producing records.
They didn't mean financially. They thought I could go over there and
just cleaning up.
Oh, I see.
How did this record go? The Norwegians grasped it to their bosom. How did it go?
Well, it sort of said, "I want to be your fantasy." And then we went into the beat, and she went, "You're my fantasy." And I went, "Yes. Oh, God, come, you're strong." I wish I'd done that last year up at the Edinburgh Festival when it first came out. I might have sold a few more records in this country. So, actually, the Norwegians speak very, very good English, they could have said that. But, Clement, they enjoyed your challenge because it was very apt and clever, so we give you a bonus point. But Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point, and he keeps the subject. 33 seconds, locks, starting now.
I remember moving into a new bedsit, and because it was brand spanking newish to me, I had just put the keys somewhere where I couldn't find them. And when I came out of my bedroom about 4:30 in the morning and I wanted to visit the loo, I took the wrong turn in and found myself outside the front door with no keys, stark naked. I was there for about 7 weeks. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The only thing that kept me going was a copy of Nicholas Parsons' record Fantasy, which I don't know if you know, it's an enormous hit some countries overseas, not here, of course, because nobody would buy it here. But it was a wonderful, brilliant tribute.
So, Paul Merton speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now one behind Clement Freud, our leader, and 1 point ahead of the other two. Ross, it's your turn to begin. We've already talked about the Loch Ness, but now the subject actually is Nessie. So will you tell us something about Nessie in this game, starting now?
Sometimes when the untouchables were being over-familiar, they would refer to their boss as Nessie. Of course, it's real name was Elliot Ness, but, you know, they'd come in there, "Oi, Nessie, get us a cup of tea," and that used to drive him mad. He'd send them off on errands that, quite frankly, wasn't becoming of their crime-fighting status. They'd be pouring sugar into hot beverages instead of running around the back streets trying to find Al Capone and all of the other gangster types. They would enjoy a hot soup occasionally instead of going off and checking through important criminal records. They would sometimes be forced to eat quiche for hours on end instead of...
Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
I'm afraid there was a hesitation. Yeah. Yeah, but you went so well for 44 seconds. That is the irony of this game. You can go for 44 seconds and entertain the audience, but don't get any points at all. Someone interrupts you and has a correct challenge, which was Paul, and he has, therefore, 16 seconds to tell us something about Nessie, starting now.
When I was younger, I used to believe that Nessie existed there in Loch Ness. I believe sometimes they send down a sub... Oh.
Repetition,
yes,
I believe.
That's right. You did? Yeah. Well, listen, Sean, you've got another point, and you have 11 seconds on Nessie, starting now.
If the Loch Ness Monster does exist, then why haven't we found him? It's plain...
Clement Challenge.
I don't know.
Right, so Clement comes in with these apt remarks, which I said at the beginning, which get a round of applause, so I usually say, right, bonus point to Clement. You were interrupted, Sean, so you get a point for that.
Ooh.
You keep the subject, and you have 6 seconds still on Nessie, starting now.
As I would believe, most people wanted to find a Loch Ness Monster.
Ross, challenge.
Repetition of Loch.
Oh, that's right, because the subject is Nessie.
Yeah.
This is good.
I so did, but we had lots.
Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
Shall I just go?
Because we had Locke before, and Sean Locke is talking,
You know what? I feel wrong and cheap and...
But you're playing within the rules of the game, and that's what it's all about. So, Ross, you've got in. I don't want to rub this in, but there's 1 second to go. But it is the game. And Nessie's with you, Ross. 1 second, starting now.
Nessie, that's...
So Ross was speaking then, and there was a win, gained that extra point. He's in third place, just behind Paul Merton and Clement Foyt ahead, and Sean Locke 1 point behind him. And Sean, your turn to begin. The subject is plates. Tell us something about plates in this game, starting now.
Plates, whether they're tectonic or ceramic. You can't live with them or without them.
I think that was wonderful. I really do, you know. I think we can live without plates. Yeah.
you can't have a tectonic plate in the house. It's too big.
Right. Anyway, what was Ross's challenge?
I can't remember now. I think...
He did hesitate.
Yeah, and also a repetition of them as well, if you want.
That's right. And you can't live with them or without them, yes. Yeah. So, Ross, tell us something about plates, and there are 50 cc's? Right, you get me such a state. 53 seconds available. Plates, starting now.
Plates are often found in the head of old war veterans who have had part of their skull blown off, and they are placed in there, usually made out of steel. In the old days, of course, it would be Bakelite.
It was a repetition of old.
That's right. Yep. Well done. Well, listen,
I'm
Sean.
I'm glad you buzzed.
You're really getting the hang of the game, Sean. So you've got another point and you've got 40 seconds. Tell us now something about plates, starting now.
It's a very British sound, the grim cheer that goes up when someone drops a plate in a restaurant. As if everyone...
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, but he hasn't played the game before, so I think we'll give the benefit of the doubt to him. But don't pause quite as long again.
Let's see. Sorry.
I was trying
to put a bit of drama into it.
Yes, a little bit more passionate drama.
Okay.
33 seconds plates starting now.
It's as if we're saying, hooray, someone's messed up. It wasn't me. What a relief. In other countries, they don't behave like this. In France, for example, they're very mature about it. Someone drops a plate, it may...
Ross Challenge.
Repetition of plate.
Yes, because the subject is plates. The extra reaction there from our audience, which I should explain to the listeners, is because Ross felt that it wasn't a popular challenge and he got up and left. But fortunately, he has returned, and after all, I have to tell our audience, he is playing the game. And that's what it's about. Mm. You may have sympathy for Sean Locke, who engages you so much, but a correct challenge, Ross, and you have 23 seconds on plates starting now.
I'd like to get my plates and throw them around, pretending to be Greek. That's right. I have no ancestral link to that particular country, but I just enjoy smashing things. Occasionally, I'll throw them at my family members, which is handy because they're all jugglers, and they catch and serve crockery and get a stick, and they spin the plates on the top like that.
So Ross Noble got points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he has leapt forward, literally. He's one ahead of Paul Merton, and only one behind Clement Freud, and two ahead of Sean Locke. That's the order, if you're interested in points. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the seven C's. Tell us something about the seven C's, starting now.
Well, there used to be five, and then that was decided that wasn't enough, and so another two were added, making a grand total of seven. I have sailed all of the seven C's in the last 4 weeks. I was sponsored by a record company who want to make a follow-up to Nicholas's marvellous dance track called Fantasy, but they need to get the money together because apparently the last release, well, it wasn't so much released as escaped.
Clement, it sounds.
I thought he said released twice, but I think it was released.
Yes. Release and released, yes. Yeah.
That's right. Mm.
Clever little ruse, that.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to have given it away, Clement, because I don't know what he's going to say next, but he has an incorrect challenge to a point. So the seven C's are still with you, Paul. 31 seconds, starting now.
A long time ago, many years from now, perhaps I'm going back as...
Ross Challenge.
Does that work in space and time?
Sorry, I was going backwards. Is that confusing?
Yes, it did confuse me, yes. I like to live in the present and the future.
But
I'm sorry.
Many years ago, surely.
Yeah, yeah, but that's another way of putting it. But actually,
I mean, that's a very, very strict understanding of the English language. Are we not to allow a bit of flowery
I'm with you. I've got the sense of it now.
Oh, have you?
Yes. It was...
That's only because you were around at the time.
I know. I think it's a little bit of what they call grammatically tautology, but it did make sense after I paused and thought about it.
Yeah.
I have to think about so many other things in the show, that one escaped me for a moment. But so, Ross, I'm afraid it was an incorrect challenge. So, Paul, you still have the subject of the seven C's, and there are 31 seconds starting now.
If you want to go through the seven C's, you must first of all build yourself a solid boat. Perhaps the best boats in the world...
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation.
Oh, no!
Yes, he got out of boat and boats, and then he hesitated. Yes, damn it, I think you're right. Hesitation.
What? I hesitated after he buzzed.
Oh! I tell you what I do. As there seems some discrepancy and in the audience about this, I will let them be the final judge. All right, if you agree with the challenge of hesitation, you cheer. If you disagree, you boo, and you do it all together now. I think it's quite conclusive. Paul, you have another point, and you have 23 seconds. The seven C's starting now.
Of all the seven C's, undoubtedly my favourite is the Red Sea. What a wonderful body of water that is. I can still remember very clearly, as if it was yesterday. In fact, it was more than a year ago. I stripped down to my underpants, took off my bra and jumped into that water and swam as far as the eye...
Ross Challenge.
Repetition of water. Body of water jumped into the...
That's right, yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, listen, Ross.
Nobody questions the bra, but the water is...
I know. That's the joy of just a minute. They like the images, but they want the repetition. Yes, so he perhaps he'll always wear a bra. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what they thought. Well, Paul Merton, yes, he always got his bra on.
That's what they do say about me.
Yes, yes. He might not have been wearing it. I've been fishing with it.
Well, didn't you see him before he came out to do the show? He was adjusting it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ross, you got him with the correct challenge with only 3 seconds to go. The seven seas starting now.
I was under the seven seas in a Norwegian submarine when all of a
So, Ross Noble speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now still in second place, 1 point behind Paul Merton, 1 point ahead of Clement Freud, and 4 or 5 ahead of Sean Locke. And that... He's done very well for the first time, I can assure you. And that is the situation as we go into the final round, alas. I think it was worth more than that. And the final round is very... It's a fine Scottish subject. It is the Scottish Parliament and Clement Freud. So will you take the subject and go with it, Clement? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
If you look at a National Assembly with a Scottish Speaker, a Scottish Leader of the House, a Scottish Lord Chancellor, and a Scot in charge of the Exchequer, that would be the English Parliament. But the Scottish Parliament is peopled when the Scots arrived after the Norman conquest. The Angles, who were acute, turned north, and those obtuse remained in the south. As a consequence of which, virtually all political bodies are peopled by those excellent gentlemen known as Scottish, and the Scottish Parliament is to be hugely welcomed and is very expensive and extremely, extremely beautiful.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of extremely.
Yes, that's right. There were two extremes there. Oh. Yes. I mean, yes. I mean, there were all kinds of other things, but no, we're dead challenge. I think they want the subject. The Scottish Parliament is with Paul Merton, and there are 10 seconds to go, starting now.
When the Picts arrived here, the local Scottish people were playing bagpipes and making kippers. They didn't have plates in them days. Oh, no. Nothing as fancy as crockery. What they used to do...
Paul Merton brought that round to an end with a flourish and also has brought the show to an end because we've no more time, alas. Just give you the final situation. Sean Locke, who's not played the game before, did extraordinary well. Unfortunately, finished in fourth place, but he was a great contributor. Great contributor. The other three were just ahead of him and very close. In third place was Clement Freud, one behind Ross Noble only. And in second place was Ross Noble, only two behind Paul Merton. So, Paul, we say, you're the winner this week. And it remains for me to say thank you. It is four delightful, humorous and intrepid players of the game. That is Paul Merton, Ross Noble, Sean Locke and Clement Freud. I also thank Claire Bartlett, who's been helping me keep the score and blowing her whistle so elegantly. And we also thank our delightful producer-director, that is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're more than indebted to this lovely audience here in Edinburgh at the Pleasance on the Fringe, who've cheered us on their way with panache and style. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the panel and from everybody else, goodbye till the next time we play Just a Minute.